work on that detail and make that happen. Make it happen with the CAP, make it happen with 4-H, and make it happen with the manufacturer. And then we'll have a big party, because we will fund these kids, and as all of you who are TARC members know, watching kids fly rockets is fun. You're not flying rockets, but you have fun anyway. Kind of sneaky fun. And we'll also be doing special events around NARAM and NARCON and whatnot for our own internal celebration, but I don't want the celebration around us being 50 years old to be focused only on what we have done and what our history is. It needs to focus the people out there who need to be exposed to rocketry. Next item is we had a request about an NAR website award. We kicked this around a couple of times. Long debate. We got some input from Tom Beach, the Rocketeer editor, and some board members about this, and I think we know how we're going to do this now. Websites are a little bit of a different beast than a newsletter. You know, websites don't have kind of a publication date. They're changing all the time as your needs of your club change. So we're going to make this a popular vote award with one little sneaky provision, which is you can't vote for your own club's website. Okay? And so we're going to ask Rod Schaefer, I'm going to get him some technical resource to help him set this up so you can go somewhere online and say, here's the club's website that I think is worthy of section website award of the year, and I'm a member of some other section, not that one. And I have ways to check it, so don't cheat. Let me talk about a couple of other things here before I ask somebody else to come up and speak to you about one of these items. Section activities, a lot of things on section activities plate. I've gone back to Rod Schaefer, the section activities committee chairman now, three times. He keeps smiling and saying, yeah, Bunny, I can do that, but I keep adding things to his plate. There's going to be a rewrite of the section manual. We're going to update that thing. It hasn't been done in about 5 years. We need to get a lot of new information in there. I'm going to be coming to NAR sections asking for your help on this in two ways. I want to know what stuff you want to see in the manual, and to the extent that you have expertise in any of those subjects, I want you to tell Rob, hey, here's how you do it. Here's how you set up a list server. Here's how we maintain our website. He'll be looking for all kinds of input about how to update that section manual. And then the section of the year award. I was a little worried, and I've talked to Rod about this, about the section of the year award. We ask you to tell us what activities your section is doing in order to determine which club we think deserves that award. And the participation and the response and the feedback on that award is steadily going down. Fewer and fewer NAR sections are sending us the information we need in order to figure out who the winner is. And I think I know why that's the case. If you're a club, and not to pick on any particular club, I just know this was large. If you're the DARS section down in Dallas, you might do a lot of outreach without worrying about it too much because your club is so big. If you're the new club that we have in North Dakota, right, those guys are seven guys out there trying the best they can to make the best rocket club they can in North Dakota. They're not going to do the same level of outreach as a club in Dallas that's a metroplex of how many, you know, millions. We're going to divide this award up. We're going to give three awards. There's a small, a medium, and a large. And the sneakiest part is there aren't fixed cutoffs. The bottom third that we get by size are going to go into the small bucket. The middle third are going to go into the medium bucket. And the top third are going to go into the large bucket. And we're going to give three awards. So there'll be three sections of the year, depending on how big you are. So get involved. Go back to your clubs. Tell them this change is coming. We'll certainly tell you about it. We'll set this up. We have the tools now as a byproduct of some other work we've done to put this on the web so you can fill out a web form. Tell us what you've been doing. Three awards. Make it fairer for sections of different size.
Kevin Johnson from Columbia, Maryland. Is that size based on section membership?
Yes, as determined in the NAR headquarters database.
So it's NAR members.
Yes, NAR members.
NAR members, not just total members.
Correct. You think it should be different?
No.
You
fine.
Sure? Well, I mean, come on. I mean,
we're about 50%.
We don't require NAR membership to be a club member.
And most NAR sections I know of don't. You know, I guess I'm asking the question, right? You should tell Rod, Schaefer, the committee chairman, if you think it should be NAR members or total members or some combination, you know, go see Rod, tell him what you think. The idea, though, is three awards based on the size of your club. I'm going to ask Ted Cochran to come up here and talk about the next subject before I get to the piece on legal and regulatory matters. How many of you read my column in the Rocketeer entitled Unhappy Landings? Right before the TARC, right at a time when I should be really excited because of all the great things we've done with these kids, I started getting a feeling in the pit of my stomach because of what I heard from the field, right? I heard about three or four accidents, serious accidents with TARC rockets. And then somebody goes, Bunny, you need to go look at this URL. And here's a picture of a high-power rocket model that's gone through the front windshield of a Chevy Suburban and trashed the steering column and the instrument panel. And the story I hear is there was a kid in the front seat. Now, when I get up in front of the press and I tell them, they say to me, well, what's the NAR all about, Mr. Bundick? I say, safety, education, and fun, and it looked like to me something was wrong with the first one of those. So I thought about it a couple of days, and then I picked up the phone and called somebody that unfortunately has experience in this. JAP went into the astronaut corps 6 months before the Challenger accident. And the first thing he had to do after he got down there was to figure out what went wrong with something that killed two people he shared an office with. And I said, Jay, I'm scared. I'm afraid we're going to end up with a body bag on a rocket range. And I don't know what the cause is. I need somebody to understand and scientifically analyze what this is about, and we're going to stop doing this. Will you do this for me? And he said, yes. And he recruited a great team of people who did an awful lot of work. As work is still in progress, but we got to do something about this. And I'm dead full serious about putting a stop to unsafe practices on ranges with things that are putting people at risk. I don't know what it's going to take yet because the work's not done. And I want Ted to talk to you a little bit about the work that's done, tell you about where we're going with this, and I need your help. I can get up here and preach about this all I want, but just like the TARC, you guys in the field have to make this happen for me. And if we don't, I'm afraid that somebody's going to put an end to it for us, and they're going to do it in a way that won't be to our choosing or to our aid. So please listen to what Ted has to say, and make sure that when you leave this meeting, if you have stuff in particular you want to talk to him about, get up with him. He's got good people working for him. And we're going to get to the bottom of this and make sure that the hobby stays safe for the next generation of kids coming along. Ted?
Thanks. I'm going to just give you a bit of a progress report. I'm just speaking for JAP, who was the chairman of this committee. So I'm sure he would have loved to have come in and told you himself, but he had a couple of fields to buzz. Jay likes to say that sport rocketry is one of the safest things that people can do. And he's right, sport rocketry is extremely safe. It's the rockets sometimes that may not be safe. And the whole activity of our group is to try to figure out what about doing rocketry, what can we put in place doing rocketry that takes the risk out of flying rockets. Because everybody knows that rockets once in a while do strange things. Did everyone see the ambulance out in the field today? Okay. You know how that ambulance got out in the field? I looked at that ambulance and said, oh, geez, what's going on? Somebody was out in the park, enjoying the park, biking or walking their dog or something like that. They got heat prostration. Okay. So we had this big rocket range. We're flying these mammoth rockets up all day long, and the ambulance comes out for heat prostration. Rocketry is safe. Nevertheless, as Mark said, there's some activities that we think we might be able to encourage to make it even safer. So our committee got together and we did a number of different activities to try to understand how serious the problem could be, what the best practices are out there right now that people are doing in various sections of the country, and what things we could start doing to make life better for all of us. So the first activity we did was to set up a web poll, and every section officer, or at least presidents, every section got contacted and asked to participate in this web call, and an enormous number did. So something was clearly simmering. Either Bunny set you off with that newsletter article, or everybody's got this thing gnawing in them too as a section officer. Enormous number of examples of things that they didn't feel so happy to have happened. And by that I mean, you know, if this had happened in the middle of a big crowd, something bad would have happened, and out on a rocket range it didn't. Some statistics about how often people fly and where they fly and how many people are around, how many spectators who may not know a lot about rockets versus rocketeers who do know a lot about rockets. So we're wading through that data now. We're about, about halfway through just grinding up that data and trying to get every little bit of information we can out of that. Second thing we did is go look at logs of rocket flights, and we collected one way or another about 25,000 documented rocket flights and started to look at what had happened as an outcome of each of those flights, just to try to get an idea of how often flights go well and how often they don't. So just as an example, let me see a show of hands for folks who think that a two-stage, one motor in each stage, black powder motors, say C60 to C66 Comanche, two-stage Comanche, will lawn dart. What are the odds? How many say it's less than 10%? How many say it's more than 50%? How many say that it is, okay, less than 40%, 30%, 20%? I'm seeing, okay, the variation. See, the point is we don't know. Everybody says, I know what it is, it's 20%. My experience, 20%. Well, it's about 10%. 10% of black powder, single engine, two-stage rockets will lawn dart. So therefore, now you know that number. It's 10%. With no other information at all, would you do something differently launching a two-stage black powder rocket motor? Yeah, you might. You might put it further away. You might make sure that folks are watching it. There's a lot of things you can do. So just getting the right data will help us. And we're grinding through. Boy, we have a lot of data to show you when we get this report finalized. We've got a draft report now. The final one will be coming. You might hear a little more later this week. That remains to be seen. Third thing we did is look at the energies involved. Okay, so one of the things that was somewhat surprising to some of us is that a perfectly good nominal flight of a large rocket coming down on a chute has enough energy in to really hurt somebody if it lands on them. And in fact, we had several stitches put in the head of somebody that happened to. And it could even be worse than stitches if things go wrong. So that kind of gets us into worrying about having big rockets coming down under chute in places where people may not be aware that that's happening. So looking at the energies involved, there's another set of things you might want to think about doing.